Hi, I'm Ava. Today, I'm going to tell you my story. But before I continue, please like, share, and subscribe to hear more stories like this. Ava, honey, can you please set the table? Your brother's football game runs late, but we're still having family dinner, Mom called from the kitchen. Again? This is the third time this week we've delayed dinner for Jake, I replied, reluctantly grabbing plates from the cabinet. You know how important his training is. Coach says he could get a scholarship next year. I rolled my eyes, arranging silverware. And my debate finals tomorrow aren't important? That's different, Ava. You know your father and I support your activities. Activities? Mom, I'm team captain. We're competing for state. Just set the table. Your father's picking Jake up soon. What about my science project? Dad promised to help me tonight. Mom sighed. Can't you work on it yourself? You're always so independent. Because I have to be. No one ever helps me with anything. Don't be dramatic, Ava. Your father works hard to provide for this family. He finds time for Jake's stuff, always. That's enough. Jake needs more support right now. And I don't? What about when I needed help after breaking my arm last year? Dad still went to Jake's game instead of staying with me at the hospital. That was an important game. The scouts were there. Right. And I was just in pain alone for hours. Got it. This was my life, always second place to my golden child brother. Jake, the football star, the social butterfly, Dad's pride and joy. Me? The afterthought daughter with the cute hobbies. The next morning, Dad didn't even wish me luck before leaving for work. Tell Jake I'll be at his practice later, he called out, the door slamming behind him. You'll do great today, my best friend Melissa said as we walked to class. Your parents coming to watch? What do you think? Jake has a scrimmage. Melissa squeezed my shoulder. Their loss. You're going to destroy the competition. Thanks, Mel. At least someone believes in me. Mr. Harrison said you're the best debater he's ever coached. I smiled. Speaking of, I need to review my notes during lunch. Always prepared. That's why you're going to win. I have to be. It's not like I have a cheering section like Jake does. You've got me, and the whole debate team. True, you guys are more family than my actual family sometimes. That afternoon, our team did win. I delivered the closing argument that clinched our victory. My phone remained silent. No congratulatory messages from family. Want to celebrate with us? Melissa asked. Can't. I promised to help Jake with his English paper. Again? Ava, you need to stand up for yourself. I shrugged. It's fine. I'm used to it. It's not fine. You just won state and now you're going home to do your brother's homework? If I don't, Dad will be mad. Jake's future depends on maintaining his GPA, he always says. What about your future? Does anyone ever think about that? I didn't answer. We both knew the truth. The next week brought my wisdom teeth surgery, scheduled months in advance. Dad, remember you're picking me up tomorrow after my surgery? I reminded him at dinner. Dad frowned, glancing at Mom. Tomorrow? Isn't that Jake's birthday? My surgery is at 10 a.m. His party isn't until 5. We need to set up, Ava, Mom said. Maybe we could ask Mrs. Chen next door to get you? Mrs. Chen works on Fridays. Dad, you promised. Dad sighed. Fine, but I need to be back by noon for party preparations. The doctor said I'll need help afterward. I'll be on pain medication. You're always so independent, Ava. I'm sure you'll manage, Mom chimed in. Unbelievable. If this were Jake, but it's not, Dad interrupted, and tomorrow's his big day. The next morning, Mom drove me to the clinic, checking her watch repeatedly. I need to pick up Jake's cake by 11. Your dad will be here for you. The surgery went smoothly, but afterward, I sat in the recovery room, groggy and in pain, for an hour past my pickup time. No dad. We've tried calling your father, the nurse said. Is there someone else? I called Dad, holding an ice pack to my swollen face. Ava, I can't make it. We're decorating, and Jake's friends are coming early. It's only a mile home. You can walk, right? Walk? Dad, I just had surgery. I can barely... It'll be good exercise. Gotta go. The balloon delivery is here. Click. I stared at my phone in disbelief. Everything okay? The nurse asked. My dad can't come, says I should walk home. My voice cracked. The nurse's face hardened. That's not appropriate after sedation. Let me call someone. It's fine, I mumbled, embarrassed. I'll figure it out. I stumbled home that day, disoriented and in pain, tears streaming down my face. When I arrived, the house was buzzing with party preparations. Nobody noticed me slip upstairs. There you are. Mom spotted me hours later. Could you help with the gift bags? I just had surgery, I mumbled through gauze. Don't be dramatic, Ava. It's your brother's special day. That night, as laughter drifted upstairs from Jake's party, something inside me broke. I decided. No more being the forgotten child. No more taking scraps of attention. Things would change. Monday morning, I approached my debate coach. Mr. Harrison, do you have a minute? For my star debater? Always. How was the weekend? Terrible, actually. My wisdom teeth surgery was Friday, and my dad made me walk home because of my brother's birthday party. Mr. Harrison's friendly expression turned serious. He what? Made me walk home, while I was still on pain medication. Ava, that's neglect. Have your parents always treated you this way? I nodded slowly. Jake's the priority. Always has been. You should talk to Mrs. Rodriguez, our counselor. And say what? My parents play favorites? Yes, exactly that. This isn't okay, Ava. They'll just say I'm jealous or being dramatic. They always do. Not if there's a pattern. We need documentation. There's definitely a pattern. It's my whole life. That afternoon, I sat in Mrs. Rodriguez's office, recounting years of being sidelined. I can speak with your parents, she offered. They'll just deny it. Dad will charm you like he does everyone. Then we document, start keeping records, times, dates, incidents. For weeks, I logged every instance. Missed academic awards, canceled doctor appointments for Jake's games, uneven allowances, different curfews. This is quite a pattern, Mrs. Rodriguez said, reviewing my notes. What do I do? First, we try mediation. If that fails, we consider other options. The mediation was scheduled for a Wednesday afternoon. Dad canceled. Jake's college recruiter is visiting, he explained to Mrs. Rodriguez over the phone. Surely you understand this takes priority. I watched Mrs. Rodriguez's expression darken as she replied, Actually, Mr. Wells, I don't understand prioritizing one child over another. My next ally came unexpectedly, Aunt Sarah, Dad's sister, who visited for Thanksgiving. You walked home after surgery? She repeated, horrified when I told her. It wasn't a big deal, I said automatically. It's a huge deal, Ava. Does your grandmother know? No one knows except my school counselor. Aunt Sarah's eyes narrowed. Robert always was the golden child. Now he's creating another one. What do you mean? Your father was Dad's favorite. I was invisible, just like you are now. History repeating itself. So there's nothing I can do? Oh, there's something. Call Grandma Wells. She controls the family money, and she has very strong opinions about parental responsibility. That evening, I overheard her confronting Dad. Making your daughter walk home after surgery? What kind of father does that? She was fine. You're overreacting. Am I? Tell that to Grandma. I'm sure she'd love to hear how her favorite grandson treats his daughter. Don't you dare tell Mom. Give me one reason why I shouldn't. Sarah, this is my family. Stay out of it. Like you all stayed out of my business when I needed help? No, Robert. It's time you faced consequences. The next day, Grandma called. Dad's face paled as he took the call. Mom, it wasn't like that. Yes, I know responsibility is important. No, I don't favor Jake. After an hour, he hung up, glaring at me. Did you tell Sarah about your surgery day? Yes. Was I supposed to lie? You're making a mountain out of a molehill. Am I, Dad? Or are you finally facing consequences? 2 days later, Grandma arrived unannounced, her silver hair pulled into a tight bun, her posture impeccable despite her 78 years. Robert, she said coolly, we need to talk. Ava, Jake, upstairs, please. We couldn't hear everything, but the phrases, disappointed, appalled, and your father would be ashamed, floated upstairs. What's happening? Jake asked. Accountability, I replied. Later that night, Grandma knocked on my bedroom door. "Ava, dear, I owe you an apology. I didn't see what was happening." "It's not your fault, Grandma." "No, but I enabled it. Robert was always favored by his father, and I never corrected that imbalance. Now he's repeating the pattern." "What happens now?" "Changes, starting with your college fund." The next morning, Grandma assembled the family in the living room. "I've made some decisions," she announced. "The college fund I established for Jake will now be split equally between both children." Dad's jaw dropped. "Mom, Jake needs that for..." "For what, Robert? Does Jake deserve education more than Ava?"
"Of course not. But his football scholarship
is not guaranteed.
And even if it were, Ava deserves equal support."
"This isn't fair," Jake protested. Grandma fixed him with a steely gaze.
"Life rarely is, Jacob. But families should be..."
Mom spoke up. "We've always supported both children equally." "Really?" I challenged. "When's the last time you attended one of my debates? Or congratulated me on a win?"
"We've been busy with..."
"Jake's schedule, I know," Grandma continued. "Additionally, I'm establishing a trust specifically for Ava that will help her with graduate school, should she choose to attend. Robert will not be the trustee."
"You're punishing me for being a dedicated father," Dad argued.
"No, I'm correcting an injustice. And there's more. My house, the one you've always assumed would be yours someday, Robert, will now be left to both Sarah and you, equally.
That house has always been promised to me."
"Things change when promises are broken, like promising to pick up your daughter after surgery."
"Mom, you can't do this."
"I already have. The papers were signed yesterday."
"This is Sarah's doing, isn't it?"
"This is your doing, Robert. Face the consequences of your actions." In the weeks that followed, the family dynamic shifted dramatically. Dad tried to win back Grandma's approval by suddenly showing interest in my activities.
"I can make your next debate," he offered one evening. "Don't bother. Mr. Harrison's parents are coming. They never miss one." Jake, facing the prospect of competing for resources, grew resentful.
"You just had to play the victim, didn't you?"
"I didn't play anything, Jake. I just finally spoke up. Now Dad's on my case about grades and independence. Welcome to my world." Mom tried to mediate, unsuccessfully.
"Can't we go back to how things were?"
"You mean where I didn't matter?"
"No, we can't."
The final blow came when Dad's annual bonus, traditionally spent on Jake's summer sports camps, was redirected.
"Your father and I have decided to use the bonus differently this year," Mom announced at dinner.
"We're sending Ava to the national debate camp she applied for." Dad stared at his plate.
"And we'll attend the final presentation day."
"Don't strain yourselves," I replied.
"Ava, we're trying here," Dad said. "After Grandma threatened your inheritance. Funny how that works."
"That's not fair."
"Neither was making me walk home with blood-soaked gauze in my mouth." Gradually, real changes emerged. Dad started attending my events. Mom began asking about my interests. Jake learned to do his own homework. By senior year, college acceptance letters arrived for both Jake and me. His football scholarship materialized, smaller than expected. My academic scholarship exceeded everyone's expectations.
"Harvard," Dad whispered, holding my acceptance letter.
"Full ride?"
"Yes. Mr. Harrison helped with my application."
"I should have been there for you more."
"Yes, you should have."
"Can you ever forgive me?" he asked.
I looked at him directly.
"No, I don't think I can. You can earn my respect going forward. But what happened, making me walk home after surgery, years of neglect, that's unforgivable."
"Ava, I don't need your apologies, Dad. I needed a father who showed up. Now, I just need you to live with the consequences of your choices." At graduation, I delivered the valedictorian address. Grandma beamed from the front row. Dad and Mom applauded loudly, their new normal, trying to make amends. Afterward, Jake approached me.
"I never realized how bad it was for you."
"You weren't supposed to. You were enjoying the spotlight."
"For what it's worth, I'm sorry."
"I don't blame you, Jake. You were a kid too."
That fall, I left for Harvard. Dad tried one last time to apologize as he helped carry my luggage to the car.
I was a terrible father to you, Ava. I see that now. Yes, you were. And now you get to spend the rest of your life knowing that I succeeded despite you, not because of you. Will we ever be okay? We'll be cordial. We'll be family by blood. But the father-daughter relationship you wanted? That died on the sidewalk as I stumbled home alone after surgery. Today, 5 years later, I'm thriving. Harvard law degree in hand, prestigious clerkship secured. Dad calls weekly, still seeking absolution I won't give. Mom sends care packages with notes saying she's proud of me. Too little, too late. Jake and I have a cautious relationship. He's coaching high school football now, more humble after his college sports career fizzled. Grandma, my unexpected champion, visits me regularly. You know, she told me recently, revenge isn't about making others suffer. It's about reclaiming your worth when others devalued it. As for me, I've learned that sometimes the best revenge isn't some elaborate scheme. It's simply thriving while maintaining healthy boundaries with those who hurt you. It's refusing to forgive when forgiveness isn't earned. It's walking away, not stumbling home in pain, but striding confidently toward a future you built yourself. So let me ask you this. Have you ever had to choose between forgiving someone who hurt you deeply or moving forward without them in your life? What did you choose?